Several of you have asked me if I'm going to be able to preach today. Got home yesterday afternoon after a day flight delay, stretched it out a little bit, and I can report to you that I will be standing as I preach today, and that's wise considering if I were to sit, I too might be asleep during the sermon. So, it was a joy to hear the word brought in London by Nicky Gumbel 2 weeks ago. Some of you know him from the Alpha Course. It was a joy to be there as he preached and to see the vibrancy of the Spirit there. And an equal joy to hear Yura preach. Yura's a man of Korean background, but speaks Russian. And I couldn't tell exactly what he was saying, but I knew what scripture passage he was preaching from, and I saw the response of the people. And it was just a joy to see how God's word lifted up in various settings bears fruit by the power of his Spirit. And we'll trust that that will happen today. We have been making our way gradually to Jerusalem with Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. That journey commences early on at the end of chapter 9. It's not all grim. Actually, there's some quite joyful stories, but each one of them is shaped by the fact that Jesus is on his way to the cross. Even this story about him taking children up in his arms. He took the moment and the conversation it generated with his disciples to teach. And so he teaches us something about life in the kingdom as one who holds children in his arms. I'll be reading in Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 15. Let's pray together before we read. Lord, your word can be read in our hearing and not even register. But we pray that by the power of your Spirit present in our midst today, it would not only register, but pierce deeply into our hearts. And we pray in the name of the living word, our Lord Jesus. Amen. Luke 18, beginning at verse 15. People were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them, and when the disciples saw it, they sternly ordered them not to do it. But Jesus called for them and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So the topic of the day in the seminary class was the second coming of Christ. And here's what Professor Thomas said. Thus, the eschaton has a proleptic effect upon the processes of sanctification and how the church engages its ethical imperatives. And his students tried mightily to act like they understood what he was talking about. They really didn't. Same topic, very different setting. Little Robert's Sunday school class, the teacher said, "Jesus is coming back." And Robert asked, "When?" And the teacher said, "I don't know." And Robert said, "I hope it's soon." And everyone understood what had been said. And as the class concluded, they sang, "Jesus loves me." Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, whoever does not enter the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." People over at New Life Church are fighting about how they're going to use their money. And they've got some gossip going and a lot of suspicion has been generated. And this has been going on for months now. And there are several factions formed and it could well be that the church is going to split. Two youngsters got in a fight over a toy. And they pushed and they shoved and they hit and there were some tears. And then 5 minutes later, they were playing happily. Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. What does Jesus mean by that? And is it even possible for us who've left childhood behind to enter the kingdom as a child? In Jesus' time, parents would bring children to the elders for blessing. And there were special occasions for this, like a child's first birthday, but they also brought children when they especially liked the rabbi, and that's what had begun to happen with Jesus. People started bringing children to him. He just kind of poured forth love, and so people wanted their kids to be near that, and so they started bringing children to him, which ended up looking problematic to the disciples who saw themselves as Jesus' handlers and protectors, and they wanted to keep these kids from gumming up the works. I mean, they had serious kingdom business to do, and they meant well, but they misjudged Jesus and the kingdom that he was bringing. I think Jesus had to have been the kind of guy who knew the name of every single kid in his hometown, along with the name of all the dogs. He was that kind of guy. And instead of running the kids off, he took them up in his arms and used it as an opportunity to teach. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it. And that's pretty plain. He wants us to be like children in order to enter his kind of kingdom. So what does that mean? You may remember a few years ago, there was a columnist who wrote about the wisdom we can learn from the kindergarten. And he said, pretty much everything I need to know I learned in kindergarten. Things like share everything, play fair, don't hit people, put things back where you found them, wash your hands before you eat, flush the toilet, take a nap every afternoon, and so on. There's some wisdom there, but it's easy to over-sentimentalize the simplicity of children. Children are simple in a way, but they can be just as selfish or even more selfish than adults. And Jesus is not calling us to be childish in that way, selfish and self-centered or naive. Nor is he calling us to abandon intelligent inquiry for some sort of simplistic faith. He doesn't want us childish, but he does want us childlike. And there are some traits of children that we tend to lose as we leave those years and enter the various sophistications of adult life and fancy ourselves self-sufficient. And these are the traits that Jesus lifts up as essential for entering the kingdom of God. And these are the traits to which he's pointing as he, with children in arms, said, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a child will not enter it. For example, one trait of children, and particularly of small children, is that they're dependent. Children are dependent on their parents for nearly everything. When Mark's gospel tells this story, he uses a rather broad word for children. Luke chose a word specifically to catch the nuance of Jesus' language that emphasizes that it was even infants that he had taken in arms. And there is no doubt about the dependence of infants. They are totally dependent on their parents for everything. They cannot survive without their parents. Food and water and clothing and cleaning and love and more. Totally dependent. And in the kingdom, this kingdom which we enter at the call of God, we are dependent. Even though we're grown up and organized and self-sufficient, in the kingdom, finally we realize how totally dependent we are upon the Heavenly Father. He provides everything, from the air we breathe to our sense of purpose in life. I like this, the way this is shown in our practice of baptism. You know, we'll baptize folks who are old enough to profess their faith. And when we do that, then what we're lifting up is how God in His grace calls forth from us this capacity to respond to His goodness. And we mark that in baptism. But hang around here long enough, you'll also see infants baptized. And when we baptize an infant, what we're highlighting, putting it in bold print and a double underline, is that before we can even articulate who God is, already He's loving us. And we are absolutely, totally, 100% dependent upon Him. And His goodness is beyond our articulation. All we know is that we're being loved. And Jesus said, in just such a way, we enter the kingdom of God. Now, not only are children dependent, they are also trusting. And if you would enter the kingdom, then you must trust the King. Sad but true, these days parents have to teach their children not to be too trusting. For example, you can't have your child just trusting some stranger and getting in the car with someone they don't know. And so you have to teach them to be cautious or even suspicious. And you have to teach them because they don't start out that way, do they? Children start out willing to trust. And you may have had an experience like I have where you've got some youngster up on the sliding board or up in a tree, and that kid will jump out of the tree and count on you to catch him. Ready or not, here he comes. He trusts you. And hopefully you're ready to catch him. God is ready, and He is able, and He is trustworthy. Parents may or may not be ready, may or may not be able in a certain setting. Always God is ready. At the end of Deuteronomy, there's an interesting little phrase. The eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. I like to think about that when we're falling, whatever precipitates the fall, the arms are there. And you can count on Him. You can trust Him. It was that phrase that gave the title to one of the favorite hymns of the 19th century, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Some of you know that song. You can count on those arms to be there to catch you. And so trustworthy is He, that you can trust Him, and thereby, Jesus says, enter the kingdom of God. It's another trait of children. They are without guile. Children do not know how to be other than they are. They've not yet learned all the fine arts of playing games and wearing masks. And so they're not like the pastor who was visiting the Smith family, a family in his church, and they offered him some of their homemade cherry brandy. Well, this was a teetotaling church, and he thought, well, gosh, I'd like some, but probably shouldn't, so he refused, and they pressed him a little bit, and so he drank some, and he liked it so much, he had a second and a third. And the man said to him, I see you like our homemade brandy. I'll give you a case of it, a whole case of it, if you'll acknowledge it publicly in church. And so he thought a little bit about it, and he agreed. And so the next Sunday, the bulletin read with these words, the pastor wants to thank the Smiths for their gifts of cherries and the spirit in which they were delivered. And Such are the subtleties of our skill in presenting an image, in being something other than we are. And eventually we get so good at this, we lose track of who we are. We fool ourselves about our identity. So many shades we have given it. You don't have to do that in the kingdom. Life with Jesus, among other things, is a life in which He restores to us our identity and our willingness simply to be who we are in His presence as children without guile. And the final trait we'll note today with children is that they're always hungry. Kids are growing, And their bodies demand nourishment. And so the infant cries, and the toddler whines, and the teenager raids the refrigerator. And Jesus says, to such as these, the kingdom belongs. That hunger is a gift from God, so that you receive willingly and eagerly the gifts He would give. I remember years ago, the first church I served, it was our practice in that congregation to serve people communion in their seats. And so the bread would be cut up into little cubes. And I remember little Mark, I was watching, he was three or four rows back. And as the bread tray came down the aisle, he got a whole handful of cubes. And they were in his mouth before his dad could get a hold of him. And we laughed about it. I mean, it was quarter till 12. And he's hungry, and someone's passing the bread, and of course, it just made sense. About a month or two later, when we next had communion, my daughter was seated somewhere near the front, and I saw her habit for communion. The juice was served in these little plastic cups. And so the tray comes down the aisle, and she gets her cup, and she drinks it, and she sees a drop in the bottom. And so she shakes it, and it's still there. And so her tongue goes up into the cup, and she swirls out the cup with her tongue. She didn't want to miss any of that juice. And we laughed. And I ask you, who understands communion? The little ones who hunger. Now, there's more to know about communion and the symbolism of the moment. But it is to such hungry children that the kingdom comes. Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." Now, why is that? Well, because the king of the kingdom is your father, which makes you his child, no matter what your age, 8 or 18 or 48 or 88. And you may have a PhD in theology, but you enter the kingdom as a child. And your father is calling you today. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a child will not enter it. So come, children, my sisters and brothers. The Father's welcoming us. And let's pray. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for your open arms to us, your children. We struggle so to appear self-sufficient and independent, to act like we have it all together and know it all. And yet, for the most important thing of all, you receive us as children. We rest in that. We come to you at your bidding. And we pray in the name of the one who came first to us as a child himself. Amen.